Father, we thank you this morning. We are in your presence, Father. It's all because of you. We exalt your holy name. Father, it's our prayer this morning that may we be decreased so that you be increased, O Lord. That your name alone will be glorified. Father, it's my prayer this morning that you anoint every ear and touch every single heart that will hear your word today. Father, we are here to discuss your word. We're here to share what you've got for us this morning. Father, by the end of this discussion, O Lord, we pray, O Lord, that everyone that came here with an expectation, Father, that you meet them in the presence, O Lord, of other brethren right here this morning. We pray that, Father, you anoint every single heart. We pray, O Lord, that anyone who is sick in our midst, that, Father, your healing hand will touch them right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you. We bless your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen. May you please be seated. Amen. Thank you for your introduction. I never know how to put a title to your name, Dr. Pastor John. Yes, we thank God for what he's doing. Myself, I would say that I've taken this man to be a big brother and also a father. And thank God for what he's doing with you and with this church. Amen. It's always good to be in the presence of the Lord. I enjoy that. I'd rather be in the house of the Lord all the rest of my life than to be out there chasing a dollar. Amen. We are all here to chase a dollar, most of us. But it's good to remember that God has brought us here for a special purpose. Aside from trying to chase the dollar and trying to make the money, God has brought us here to win souls for his kingdom. And this morning, I want to challenge your life now. I don't know how many years you've been a Christian, but some of us, you would say that we were born into the house of the Lord. Our parents have always been a Christian. We've grown to know the things of the church. But I want to challenge your life this morning, but I want to ask you, how Christian are you? How Christian are you? Including myself. I'm not going to pretend as if I'm more Christian than you are. But how Christian are we? Are you a fan of Jesus, or you are a follower of Jesus? This is a very important thing to understand, or which category you want to put yourself in. Are you a fan of Jesus, or accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior? Maybe this question might not really make any sense to you. But for those of us who've been a Christian for many years, or probably a year or so, have we come to the realization of knowing who Jesus is, or we just following because we think he's good, he performs miracles, and one just wants to follow along? Maybe that one of those miracles will fall on us. We have never made our decision to follow Jesus. We've never decided to really be passionate about what he does. We just want to experience, or we just want to receive one of his many miracles. Some people have been able to see. Those who were blind have been able to see. Those that were sick have been able to be healed. Those that are dead have been brought back to life. Now, maybe I have a special problem. I have a problem. I need a job, or I need a beautiful wife, or I need children, and I believe that Jesus can give it to me. That's all that I need from him. Brothers and sisters, I don't know how you actually understand the word Christian. Christian, the English word Christian, actually comes from the Greek word Christianos. Christianos means that followers of the anointed one, or followers of Jesus Christ. Now we see in the book of Acts chapter 11. Shall we read the book of Acts chapter 11? We're going to read from verse 26. Book book of Acts chapter 11. Read from verse 26. If you there, say amen. Okay. That's good. I'm reading from King James. That's my favorite scriptures. But if you're reading from NIV or other versions, it may read differently. And it says, verse 26, "And when he had found him," you know, that was Barnabas going out to look for Saul, you know, "he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled together themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch." And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Many people would realize that today, if you go out in the public or if you go outside the church or if you meet anybody who may not be religious per se, but will still see themselves as Christians. They will tell you they don't go to church or anything, but yeah, I was brought up with the Christian values, so maybe, yeah, I would say that I'm leaning towards Christian beliefs. I'm not religious, or I'm not nothing. And if you meet a lot of the people outside our communities, and doesn't matter where they come from, they will say the same thing. Unless that person is a Muslim or some or other faith, they will tell you, mostly people who tell you that they are Christians may not necessarily go to church or may not necessarily believe that Jesus is God. And that alone tells them that they're not going to church or they don't believe in Jesus. But brothers and sisters, we saw in the book of Acts chapter 11, we just read now, it talks about the disciples actually became apostles then, because after the day of Pentecost, they went out there and proclaimed the gospel. And as they went to Antioch, a town, and they would begin to spread the word of God, you can see that the people began to understand or feel the presence of Jesus upon the lives of the apostles. That they begin to actually identify who they were. Not specifically being, for instance, being like a doctor or a professor in theology or anything in particular, because they call them Christians, one, because they identify them following Christ or actually propagating the gospel of what? Of Jesus Christ. Now they begin to infect the people of Antioch in such a remarkable way, though the people of Antioch did not necessarily believe in what they were saying, but because they branded them as the people carrying the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hence, they're branding them Christians. Maybe some commentators will say it may be actually a derogatory term or something that people call these people that they are Christians. Brothers and sisters, maybe some of us, if you've met friends who are Jehovah's Witnesses or something like that, I don't know about you, but where I come from, sometimes we call them different names. Call them, "Oh, these people, they're always knocking on your door," or "these people, they are always doing this, they're always doing that." I've never stepped into a Jehovah's Witnesses meeting, so I don't know how they do their business. But I just want to draw your attention onto how people easily classify or brand something from what they see and also what they feel that happens. So for instance, if I'm a salesman and I'll knock on your door and say, "Look, I'm selling Telstra products," or something like that, the moment I knock on your door, you know, "This guy always comes here. He works for Telstra." I may not necessarily be working for Telstra, I may be working for another company, but because I've come to your door selling Telstra products, you think that I'm from Telstra. Unless I introduce myself that I'm actually a salesman directly from Telstra, you may not know that I may be working for another company or maybe actually a third party working, selling products for Telstra. Now, anybody who comes to us to propagate the gospel on a number of occasions, one, we would open our window very slightly to see who they are. And after opening the window slightly, oh, sometimes you even go to some houses, they put no religious or anything else. Please go away. I don't want to know who you are. But brothers and sisters, I'm using this as an illustration to let you know how the people of Antioch felt about the presence of the apostles, Paul and the other the apostles when they came there. Brothers and sisters, what I actually want to draw your attention on is this. If you are a fan of Jesus, maybe this sermon might not mean anything to you. But if you are a follower of Jesus, it is our core duty to go out there and propagate his gospel. It's to infect those who are in our inner circle. It's to infect anybody who is around us. We rather they brand us as true Christians than we telling them that we are Christians. Now, Paul did not go there and say we are Christians, but then the people were able to tell that they were followers of Christ because of what they did. It is a challenge to all of us that as we've come to know who Jesus is, it is a challenge to us. If you're a pastor, we've been discussing this. So Australia needs a revival. They need to turn their hearts back to God. There's so many things that is wrong. There's so many things that everybody will sit in their home and probably, if you move by the Spirit of God, you'll be able to sense the urgency of we going out there to propagate the gospel or tell people, or if we come into contact with any Christian or anybody who maybe have drifted away or have backslided, it is our core duty, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, to freshen them up, to call them, say, brother, Jesus is still on the move. Jesus, the power of God is still at work. I remember in the book of Luke, maybe let's turn to the book of Luke. That would be the core of my message today. The book of Luke, we read from chapter 9. Luke 9, we'll read from verse 57. Read from verse 57. Luke chapter 9. From 57. If you there say amen. Okay. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man had not where to lay his head. Verse 59. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. I know many of us may have read this scripture over and over again, but today it is our core duty to do what God has commanded us to do as followers. As followers of Jesus Christ, it is our core duty to be out there spreading the good news of Jesus. It is our core duty and responsibility to let people that we are out there winning souls for Jesus. It is our core responsibility and calling, not only for the pastors or evangelists or elders or people who are working or who have dedicated their lives to this cause, but it is a calling for every single Christian. Someone will say, well, I cannot talk. I'm not too confident in telling someone about Jesus. because I don't know about myself. Maybe they see me doing certain things, and they see me, they perceive me as being in sin because I drink the same place as they drink. I go out and mess around the same way they do. So it's very difficult for me to go. Then it's about time for you to pause and reflect on your life and give yourself properly to Jesus. And stop being a fan and rather being what? A follower of Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, today is not to maybe disturb your theological beliefs or anything like that. It's to just remind us of who we are, and also to remember or to remind us of our purpose, or why we are here, and why becoming a Christian is not only for us or people who are only close to us, but rather to infect anybody that we come to be contagious with what we have in the name of Jesus. I want to share this thing with you. It's an illustration. It's a personal friend of mine who is involved in network marketing. This person loves believes in what he has. Network marketing is telling somebody about a product, and that person, when he's able to become successful, you also become successful. I may be in a position of being a retail through the website or something like that. There's so many companies who are doing network marketing in the world. Now, this person would introduce somebody else. That person also introduced somebody else. And that person also introduced somebody else. And as everyone is making money or whatever, it flows down back onto me because I started that network. Now, a good friend of mine was involved in one of these, and he went to these seminars. He's been involved for many years. And one day at the function, his brother-in-law also was happened to be invited by somebody else. Now, the brother-in-law was so moved that he believed that this product is something that he wants to be involved in. Now, he happened to see, because there were so many people, that after the meeting, there were so people talking amongst themselves and socializing. And I managed to see his brother-in-law, which is my friend, the friend of mine. He goes, "How long have you known about this?" I said, "Oh, maybe 4 years." 4 years? He said, "Yeah. But how come you never told me about it?" And the friend of mine said, "Well, you know, I didn't think that you'd be interested, and I didn't think that, you know, this is something that you would be interested in." He was trying to defend himself of why he did not tell his brother-in-law. And up to today, they're not in good terms. They're in the same network, but they're not in good terms, because he felt so hard on himself that why didn't his brother-in-law, which was my friend, tell him about such a great opportunity. Now, many of us, we've been in situations, we think that we've received Jesus, we're saved, and we know the truth, and we believe in our hearts that we're going to inherit the kingdom of heaven. We know that we're going to spend eternity with Jesus because of what Jesus has said in his word. He's promised us he will never leave or forsake us, and he's going to take us into a different level that we believe, we have faith, we believe in what we have so much so that nothing is going to pull us away from the faith of Jesus Christ. Now, we've come into contact with so many people in our lives, even within our own family circles. There are people who do not want to know about Jesus, who do not want to hear anything to do with the name of the word of God. That if you want to share something with them, they just want to push it away. But what does Jesus say? That should we forsake all those people? Maybe due to personal relationships or due to one thing or the other, we don't talk to them. But does it mean that we should forsake those people and just keep to ourselves? "Oh, it's only, yeah, no, it's okay, it's enough. Oh, it's only 10 people. I don't want a big church. You know, I just want 20 people. That's enough. Or I don't want to join a church that is, you know, too big because people talk too much. Oh, I don't want to go to someone's house and knock on the door. Maybe they'll pour hot water on my face. Amen, somebody. It is a position that we have come into a comfort zone. That's what we saw in verse 57. People become so comfortable in what they have that now the commission, the great commission of going out there to propagate the gospel, becomes very difficult for us. It's become so hard for us because we see the negatives, we see the difficulties that are associated with sharing the word of God with somebody else. Because we have not grown enough in the word of God, so it makes it difficult for some questions to be answered if someone else asks us the question. Questions such as, who is God? Have you seen it before? Or any other questions makes it difficult for us to go out there and tell somebody. But brothers and sisters, let me tell you this, that if you are a follower of Jesus and you are not a fan of Jesus, or just sitting there and understand and just following and just hoping that one day he will touch you, but rather believe in what you have in the word of God, that his word is true, his word is yea and amen, and that we are able to understand what we have and are able to share what God has placed on our hearts. That our lives, we are not going to tell people that we are Christians, but our lives will reflect Jesus. Because our conversations will be all about him. Our conversations will be all about him. I don't know what situation you're going through. I don't know what particular step you are in the faith of Jesus Christ. But this message is for all of us. Is for all of us to remind ourselves of the calling of God upon our lives. Maybe you are the musician, or maybe you are the person who comes to arrange the chairs. Maybe you are the person who does something, look after the kids, do anything within the church. That is in addition to your major call. And that major call is to win souls for Jesus Christ. That when we come together, you perform your duties within the body of Jesus Christ. But then the major call is to go out there and win souls for Jesus Christ. Because you don't want to come to the situation where your best friend will meet you at a function. Or your best friend will meet you one day and says, why didn't you tell me about this man that you've come to know? Why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me? Oh, but I came there once and you asked me to leave and stuff. Yeah, but that shouldn't stop you from coming. I don't know if you've seen the Mormons, or you've seen those people. Have you seen anyone who's seen the Mormons come around? Yes, yes. Is it Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, or however they call them? Yeah, I think so. They come on a push bike. I don't know how many people they meet a day. They come on a push bike. Come on. Have their own Bibles and everything. They believe and they are sharing what they have. But what is going on within the Christian body, their own Christian body? What we have is so true and pure that we should be actually outdoing the jobs that these guys are doing out there. It is our major call. And to step out of our comfort zone of being comfortable, of just stick to what we know or stick to what we have. And this is why we do things. This is how we've always done it. I grew up in a church where we only believe in this. So that's it. And we are trying to defend the theology or what we think we understand the scripture is saying. And today I was so blessed with the Bible studies this morning of dedication and commitment. Talking about divorce is so powerful. Something that I'm going to go home and always always read. I'm going to keep that booklet. It's so powerfully done. I like it. That it causes us to be committed in what we do. In marriage, in business life, in whatever you are doing, it costs to be committed and believe in what you have. Now, if you don't believe in what you have, it becomes difficult. Because it becomes difficult for you to even tell somebody about it. You don't know what you have. You don't understand it. Then you can't tell anybody about it. So it is very important that we as Christians, or people who we call ourselves as believers, or people who have come to know who Jesus is, it is our core responsibility to also share it. Now, I would say that the maximum discipleship time should be up to three years. Jesus, when he shared with his disciples, and after he left, he said, I'm going to leave the Holy Ghost to come upon you, and he's going to teach you all things. Now, we've been believers for many years. Can we actually take stock of our lives and say how and see how many people we've brought to Jesus? How many people have we told about Jesus? In my church, some of my leaders will say, Pastor, you know, it's easy for you to say because it's your job. You can always go there and tell someone about Jesus. You can always, you know, get your way around some questions and things. So it's easy for you. I said, it's easy for me. No, it's not easy for me. The kind of difficulties that I go through is the same difficulty that you also go through. Because the kind of people that I may meet in my professional life or any other way will be people who are highly learned. Not like Apostle Paul is able to talk to people who are highly learned. And Peter and those who are not educated, I also talk to people who are not what? Within their own level. Now it is our responsibility to communicate that. Communicate God's word. It's the same God's word. But maybe some questions that these people who may not be highly learned will be asking will not be the same questions as the people who are, you know, who are not so, who are maybe illiterate, so to speak. Pardon my, probably I'm using the wrong terminology there. But what I'm trying to say is, it is our core duty. Anybody that we come in contact with, it is our job to tell them about who Jesus is. You know, the enemy has blindfolded so many of us, has blindfolded the world, that anything to talk about Jesus is actually pushed aside. Even within our own church, we don't even see the need. You go to some churches, even the essence of actually staying in the gospel and sharing the Bible studies and things like that is not present. It's become more of a social gathering, you know, like, oh, Charlie, chill out, you know, just go have coffee and cross your leg and have a discussion, talk about business and how to be successful. The 10 keys of becoming successful, the 10 keys of becoming rich, and all the keys that so many people have invented. Now the gospel has been put so under the table that nothing, it's like, it's very difficult. You go to some churches, big church with all the theatrics, I call it. You know, all the lighting, and I mean, the praise and worship is so wonderful, you know, gospel rock, and they can put gospel at the front of every other music genre that you can find. Gospel, hip-hop, gospel, rap, gospel soul, gospel, you know, yeah, you put gospel in the front of it, then it becomes Christian. I mean, songs, so great songs are hymns missing. Oh, it's old school. Oh, it's old. You know, in the 1600s, they used to sing those kind of songs. You know, Bibles have been interpreted till it's even lost its meaning. you read certain versions and it doesn't make sense. Because the enemy is so smart, so crafty, that he's crept into the Christendom, that the enemy has raised up men of God who are also saying they are preaching the word of God and twisting things around, that if you are not, the Bible talks about it, that even the very elect could be even deceived. Now, those of us who've got the truth and we're just sitting on it, someone else will do it. There are enough people out there who are on missions, Some churches are passionate. They dedicate so much money and they send people to do the job. It's okay. You know, I go to job. Look, Pastor, I'm very busy. You know, Monday to Friday, I go to work. I finish at 3 o'clock, 5 o'clock. From 5 o'clock, I have to go pick my kids from school. By school time, I have to go home, prepare dinner. After dinner, I have to just do some reading for tomorrow. Maybe spend 2-3 hours with my husband or my wife, and that's it. And we go to bed. The whole day is taking up. There's no time. But what about weekend? Oh, Pastor, you know, weekend is the time where I have to catch up and clean up the house. I have to clean the whole house. I have to wash the, you know, clothes. And I have to go pay some bills at the post office and all these things. And what about Sunday, Pastor? But we are in church. We always come to church on Sunday. Every morning we are here, you know. We come here, arrange the chairs, come and wipe the tables. We make sure that everything is right. Pastor, Sunday is all you start. By the time I go home, it's 3 o'clock. 3 o'clock, the day is finished. Before you rest for 3 hours, watch your favorite TV shows, that's it. The next morning, we're back to doing the same thing all over again. Amen, somebody. You see, that is a life. That is our lives, isn't it? So busy. We don't have time for anything. No time for anything. I mean, one of my other jobs, drive taxi every 6 hours a week. I've got a taxi and I have drivers driving it. And you go to Northbridge or you go to places like casino and see people wait outside a nightclub for about 3 to 4 hours and go in there for maybe half an hour, 1 hour, come out, plus it, waste it. And they'll come out there and wait for taxi. They wait for 45 minutes. They've waited too long. But initially, they've waited 3 hours to get into a nightclub because they think the nightclub is so going off. It's like there's so much happening in there. There's a long queue. People complain. You even tell them about Jesus for 5 minutes. It's too long. You've destroyed their 5 minutes. They are wasted for 5 minutes. I mean, these are situations that Apostle Paul and all the others would have encountered. The apostles would have encountered. Because Antioch is not an easy city. Antioch is still present now. It's not easy. It's a bubbling and, you know, commercial activity. People are making money, doing all these things. And the apostles were able to spread the gospel. In fact, you and me right here was the cause of somebody taking upon himself to travel to Africa to share the gospel. Now, these people did not speak our language. There was no English then, yes? Those who were living back in the day. Is there anyone here who was living back in the day? There was no English. Now, how were these people able to communicate the word of God to us? Some of us, we've learned English back home before we got here, so it's easy to communicate. Some of us are, you know, working every day, our everyday life, we come into contact with people. And that's what it is. Now, we are more of an advantage than the missionaries who came to Africa to share the word of God, or even missionaries who went to other places, if you're from other countries. They were able to share the word of God, tell you about who Jesus is. And what are we doing? We've come seeking for the dollar. The enemy has made sure that setting material things are a must-have. Certain material things I must have, and unless I get that four-wheel drive, I haven't made it. In fact, when I see Pastor John Adigboye driving that four-wheel drive, what car have you got? Honda or something? Honda? Driving that four-wheel drive, and you go and see the car park, I've got a 1991 sort of Honda, whatever they call it. I bought it for $1,000. And I have to make sure that I'm above, you know, if you are from the African community, you know what I'm talking about. It's not news, is it? We are always competing with one another that we've even lost the essence. I've met Christians, people who will tell you, hey, when I was back home, I was a man of God. God was using me mightily. I can lay hands on the sick. I can lay hands on the sick and they will recover. God was using me in such a different way. And they say, brother, but what happened when you came here? Oh, you know, brother, you know, we come here, you know, family, business, you know, I have to send money back home. You know, I have to look after my family. I have to do all these things. I don't have time. So how many times do you go to church? Oh, you know, church here. You know, Australia is not like back home, you know. One day a week is enough. You go to churches and prayer meetings, only 3, 4, 5 people. A church of about 50 or 60 people, people don't really care. Because the enemy has made sure that some material things are must have. You don't need them, but, you know, you want them. Now, hands up, who doesn't want to live in Dalkeith? I want to live in Dalkeith, in the mansion overlooking the, you know, the ocean, and even have a swimming pool in my house again, as much as living close to the sea. There's so many people who live like that. You can just take a walk and go to the beach and swim. No, I want to have my own private swimming pool. There's money. We live in a state booming with so much iron minerals and whatnot, that people even forget where they come from. We've forgotten where we come from. It's become must have. I must have this. Oh, this one is needed. We'll go and borrow so much money to buy unnecessary things and start paying, and debt collectors chasing us to pay back. What has happened with our Christian faith? Now, if you are a fan of Jesus, this message is not for you. But if you're a follower of Jesus, it causes us to wake up. We need to wake up, because there is a move of God that is going on in the Christian community. That everywhere you go, there is 3 or 4 people who are catching up to the revival that is going on. But the rest of us, we just follow on. Just fine, you're just coming along. Brothers and sisters, if you have time to go about your social duties, you have time to witness to somebody. If you have time to be able to sit and read a newspaper, you have time to share the good news. If you have time to sit on Facebook for hours, you also have time to share the good news. Amen. Now it's so sad that in my day-to-day life, I talk to people and they've been so passionate about God when they were back home. Some of us, you would go for prayer meetings. Eh? Is that how you do it? You go for prayer meetings for 1 month straight before you put your application to get a visa to Australia. We go for prayer meetings and, pastor, you know, I have to travel. This traveling, pastor, if it happens in my life, you see what I'll do for the church. Pastor, you see this musical instrument, it's been broken for how long? Because we don't have money. You pray so that God will open the doors. You know, let the doors be open for me, pastor. And once I go, give me 1 year. Give me 1 year. These things will be changed. And the brother will come 6 months. Oh, get a job, good job. Things are flowing. You know, get a car. You know, get a house. I mean, here, no one lives in a hut, do we? No one lives in a hut. Live in the house and everything's going. I mean, if you got an old TV, change the TV. Now you got plasma. You know, now even people got LCDs and LEDs now. You know, things are moving. You know, and brother had an old computer donated by a friend within the church or within someone. You know, go to someone and say, oh, actually, I'm changing my computer. Brother will get that computer, use it. It works fine. But no, brother will go to another brother's house with a big screen, 24-inch or 50-inch screen. He'll go home and start thinking, what kind of job is this brother doing? How can he afford to buy? You've got the same computer too. And now, instead of brother thinking, brother who's just come from, who is a Christian before, not someone who just met Jesus and is still trying to work his way out, people who already believed. Now his mentality has changed from being focused on the things of God to now chasing things that are irrelevant. Now you've gone to see a 50-inch screen. So you also want to go and get 50 each screen. Now, brother would work. Now, you as the same brother come to church. Oh, brother, have you been paying your tithe? Have you been faithful to the Lord? Oh, brother, pastor, you don't know the problems that I'm going through. Things are very difficult. Oh, my mother
my brother, you know, I have to send money to them, go to school, myself, the bills that are piling upon me. That giving even has become a problem. Somebody who has promised the church to buy instruments, forgotten about the instruments. I'm sure pastor will call him. He would not. What kind of nonsense is this? Bang the phone. Why? Leave me alone. Do you know how much I'm suffering right here in Australia? Do you know how I have to wake up early in the morning to go and do my cleaning? Do you know how I'm suffering? Don't disturb my peace. Look, tell those people not to bother me again. Now, it is our calling. We all know the story. We live in the community. We know what's going on. It is sad. Doesn't matter where you come from. Nigeria, Ghana, myself, Ethiopia, Sierra Leone. Doesn't matter where you come from. It's the same story. You meet people who they'll become so political. Oh, but Australia is not good. Australia is this. Australia is not good. Then why don't you go home? Go back. You know, too many laws. Absolutely too many laws. That is the society that they live in. Being faithful and committed and truthful to what we do is our problem. Now, God has commanded us to do something. We just shift it on the side. It's important, but we don't see it as important enough. Now, within the church, things have become so personal. Like, it boggles my understanding. When did things become so personal? When did the word of God become secondary? Like, we want to talk about our own private stuff first before we talk about the things of God. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and the rest shall be added. What is going on? Why is the enemy blinding so many people, including ourselves? There are certain things that we don't see it as even important enough anymore. Now you see sin, people living in sin, and you talk about it, hey, you are the number one enemy. At the pulpit, you preach about fornication, you preach about stealing, hey, that day, people go home depressed. Because that sermon is irrelevant today. To them, it's irrelevant. Today it's about how God will prosper you. I don't know how you are feeling. I don't know how you are thinking. But whatever God, whatever is going through in your life, it is my prayer to you today that God will bless you. And that is the sermon today. And places like that, you see many people who attend. This person is involved in prostitution. I saw. So what should I do? Hey, my brother, mind your business. Oh, mind your business. I don't care. Let's cover it. That sin is abound in the church so much so that even when you go to some churches, it stinks. But we are Christians. Especially some of us, we have to propagate the gospel. Sometimes it's so difficult that sometimes the person who is committing the sin is so close to you that is the end of your personal relationship the moment you raise the issue. So you just have to shut up. No, I'm not going to shut up. My brother, I'll tell you, like John the Baptist said, hey, it's unlawful to take your brother's wife. Brother, God bless you for that. It's unlawful to get, chop off my head. That's fine. I've done my duty. My duty is to. That is why we are each other's keepers. I'm not saying this because I'm holier than thou. That's why I'm preaching this. No. If you see, tell me, break me to book. Hey, brother, you're contravening the word of God. That is not what the word of God is saying. Is anyone upset here? Please tell me so that I stop. Okay, Pastor John is upset. But it is very sad. It is very, very sad. You go to so many places and it's so sad that people, instead of people going just for the purpose of the word of God, of to fellowship, sing songs, hymns, and edify one another, it's become, oh, what has this church got? Oh, but our church is better because we've got swimming pool, we've got baptismal pool, we've got basketball court for the kids, we've got this, we've got that. It's more about the things that we, social things that we enjoy from the outside has to come into the church because otherwise no one will show up. And you sing, you see some choristers and the kind of dresses they wear, that is even enough to, you know. It's a big problem. Pastor, I don't know if you've been, but I've been to places. And some places you just go and you say, you listen to the word of God come forth. And you say, is this the word of God or just another, you know, motivational speaking seminar? Feel good messages. That it's become so it's made so much so difficult that even when you're going to tell somebody who call themselves a Christian, they find you as confronting them in their situation. But it's just a simple thing in the word of God. Oh, it may be simple, but it that is what the word of God says. As a Christian, this is what we need to stay away from. I don't have to, it's not what I'm saying. This is what the word of God is saying. I've been to churches where you are studying the book of Romans is the one of the worst place to open. Romans and Ephesians, they won't touch it. Romans, Ephesians, and Revelations, nobody touches that. Lots of Psalms and lots of feel good ones. Nobody will touch that. No, it's too deep. You know, you don't want to offend anybody. You know, we're in Australia, and look, we don't. You don't come and preach your religion on me. I'm not going to bother you. Just don't talk to me about what you believe. You believe what you believe. You take it, and I believe what I believe. Well, hey, whatever, man. I don't want to know. I'll tell you a personal story. I was studying engineering. I'm studying engineering again. I'm always bored when I sit home and don't do anything. And this Australian friend of mine, he's a young guy, he's 20-something years old, 28, 29, I think. And initially I met him. He actually, not knowing I was in the same class with him, but he met me at the train station. He said, hey, you're in my class, right? I said, yeah, I'm in your class. Oh, yeah. Since then we became friends. And this guy, one time, was lunchtime, and he was asking me, so what do you do on your weekends? I said, oh, man, me and my weekends, you know, I always visit people, talk to them, you know, I'm a Christian, so weekends are busy time for my Christian activities. And he goes, oh, yeah. Oh, hey, man, I've got to tell you now, man. I don't believe in all that stuff. Hey, just let you know. I'm not Christian. I'm not enough, you know. I don't want to be involved. I don't like those kind of stuff. So just telling you up front, hey, no offense. Hey, no offense. So, no, that's cool. That's cool. If you don't, you know, just, it's nothing, you know. It's some people are scared. So immediately, I started turning his, I understood what he believed. You know, I understood where he stood. Because it's best to understand where the people are in their present situation. Now, if you go to Greece or you go to anywhere and you know the people, how they live and how they socialize or how they think, you got to also speak to them in their language, in the how they think and how the, what they believe in. So, in no time, within 5 weeks that I've known this guy, now he's sort of, oh, yeah. Hey, last time you told me about this, right? I went home and I read the Bible. Could you believe that? And I looked at this guy and I said, what? What did you say? Oh, yeah, man, yeah. Last time, you know, you were talking about Matthew, the book of Matthew, and I was asking who Matthew is and all that stuff. So, yeah, I went home, man. I went home not knowing my dad had a Bible somewhere. Because this guy has gone home and told the dad that he's met this African boy at the university, and he's been telling him about Jesus. So the dad said, oh, yeah, don't you know this thing. Oh, yeah, come to my study. And the dad went and removed, you know, people who've got studies and they've got so many books there gathering dust. He went there and removed it. Yeah, this is it. This is the book of Matthew. The dad actually knew. And since then, this guy every week on Wednesday afternoons, we'll go and sit in the cafeteria there. We share 20 minutes. Now, this may sound very difficult to some of us, but you see, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit will empower you. The Holy Spirit will go before you. It's not you going there because you are nothing. Our holiness, our righteousness is like filthy rags. You know, your own self cannot do anything. You got to pray and believe that God will direct you, take you to a special place where that place you're only led by the Spirit to do things. Now, I don't know why the Spirit led me to even start interacting with this guy at that present time. But now things are changing, and I believe he hasn't stepped his foot to church, but I believe that he's on the right course to accepting Jesus as his Lord and personal Savior.
Now someone will say, oh, it's easy for you, it's your job, you're a pastor. No. It's actually very difficult to talk to someone who is not of your own background. Because for me, if I meet an African, we are on a similar level, so I know how to talk to them. But if I meet an Aussie and I meet like a lovely gentleman here, it will be difficult because I don't know what he knows. As a matter of fact, English is his own language. It's maybe a third or seventh language for me. And certain words may not come across properly. Or my understanding of certain words may not be his understanding of certain words. So it's very difficult to talk to someone who's not from your own comfort zone. My brothers and sisters, it's my challenge to you that you becoming a Christian and you knowing who Jesus is and you actually understanding what you have, it's our core duty to go out there. No more laziness. You see, that's the Laodicean spirit. The spirit of Laodicea is comfort, lukewarm. Yeah, we're hot and cold sometimes. We come to church, the song is good, we jump and down, we dance. Become cold when the word of God comes. Sometimes that's when we find our perfect time to sleep. That's when we go to the toilet. That's when we go this. That's when we do this. That's when we do that. You know, whenever the word of God is going on, so many activities going on within the word of God going on. You know what I mean? Yeah, you come to church. Sometimes the sermon is so difficult for us to take that we have to find other things to do just to brush it off. But brothers and sisters, it's about time for us to wake up. And to take the mantle, the calling. You know, the book of Matthew 28:19. She said 18 to 19. It's about time for us to go out in there and reach out to the people. Tell them about the good news. What we have is so special that we need to share it. And before you go share it, you also have to be growing deeper and deeper in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. You have to be growing daily by meditating on the word of God. And let the word of God speak into your life, and that will cause a transformation in you going out there to reach out even within your people who have backslided, who don't even take the word of God as any serious anymore. I don't know the relationship that you have with your friends or your family or whatever, but whatever the relationship, whatever the situation, whatever that has gone wrong, that is all fleshly stuff. That's all personal stuff. It's got nothing to do with the word of God. Just tell them about Jesus. And for us all to get serious. Sometimes the attitude of getting up in the morning to come to church is so difficult. Oh man, I'm so drunk. I went out last night. I partied so hard. Man, I've got hangover. I'm not going to go to church and be blowing fuse. People start asking me so many questions. Sometimes we become like occasional worshippers. We come one Sunday, that's another 3 weeks, we come another one. 3 weeks we come, and even we come into church. If it's church starts at 10, we make sure we come maybe 10:45 to 11 o'clock. The church is almost half done, so we come there, we waste about 1 hour. That's cool. And then we start looking at our watch. Pastor, hurry up, what kind of sermon? You did preach this sermon last week. Hurry up, I've got, you know, the AFL game is on. I'm going to watch Perth Glory play. That's the attitude that we've got. That we've gone to a comfort zone so much so that the word of God means nothing. We've heard it over and over. It's like some of us, we've read John 3:16 to a point that it doesn't even mean anything. That is the point that we are in. Sometimes you call a Bible verse, and people have read it over and over. They've actually memorized it so much so that it doesn't mean anything anymore. Even when you're going to preach a word of God, some people think read the word of God like it's like it doesn't mean anything. No, it means something. That is why it's in there. Amen, somebody. Amen, somebody. So I don't know about you, but how many are ready and prepared to take the mantle and to start and go out there and said, I'm going to share the word of God. I believe in what I have. I'm going to share it. I'm not going to be selfish and sit on it, that my brother or my sister will actually tell me that I'm being selfish, not sharing it. I don't know about you, but if you are ready and you are passionate about it, let's all please stand. If you are passionate about it, it's my prayer to you that God will lead you.
that God will guide you, that God will empower you, that God will entrust in you what He wants you to speak to your friends and to your family.
Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you, O Lord. We pray, O Lord, committing ourselves unto you at this present time. Father, it's our prayer, Father, we've not been obeying your word, your command to share your gospel. Father, it's our prayer this afternoon that as we live here, may we have this urgency of reaching out to the lost. Father, may we have this urgency of spending time with you. May we have this urgency of spending time in your word. Father, we pray that let your spirit go before us. Guide us, O Lord, that we'll be able to tell someone about your good news. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Please.